This is the Morning Magazine for May 16th of 2022. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, a popular Chicano teacher at Denver's North High has been placed on administrative leave after a walkout in favor of his continued tenure. The CityCast Denver crew will examine the case of a shooting of a respected community leader in the historic La Alma Lincoln Park neighborhood. At the bottom of the hour, we'll hear the BBC News headlines and then the Hightower Lowdown, followed by Good Ol' CU with Joe Juhas. Then at 9 a.m., we'll bring you Counterspin, a look at fairness and accuracy in reporting. After that, Shauna Sprouls will be in the Boulder studio for the Morning Sound Alternative. All that's still ahead this morning, but first, these headlines with KGNU's Ellie Stuckrath.
Boulder County health officials say the number of new COVID cases has increased the community risk level from low to medium. Over 200 people out of 100,000 were infected. The shift was not a surprise as the more contagious BA2 variant is spreading across the country. The shift in risk levels requires the use of face masks in healthcare settings, homeless shelters, and correctional facilities. The City of Boulder responded to the news with an annual healthcare facility announcement that City Council meetings will return to all virtual instead of the hybrid live and online versions. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommended that people stay up to date on vaccinations, consider wearing masks, and follow isolation guidelines. Boulder Mayor Aaron Brockett and Colorado Representative Joe Neguse expressed their sorrow and support on social media after a gunman in Buffalo, New York, shot 13 people in a grocery store on Saturday. 10 people died before the suspect surrendered to the police. All of the fatal victims were Black, and authorities planned to leverage hate crime charges. The 18-year-old gunman, who live-streamed the attack, published a racist manifesto ahead of the massacre. The attack in Buffalo came a little over a year after a gunman killed 10 people in the Table Mesa King Soopers in Boulder. In a tweet published Saturday, Boulder Mayor Aaron Brockett wrote, "While their tragedy is a uniquely horrible combination of senseless gun violence and white supremacy, Boulder stands with Buffalo in this time of trauma and heartbreak." Current and former workers of a Grand Junction mental health facility recorded false patient information for years to help secure better funding from the state. 29 whistleblowers told the Colorado News Collaborative about their experience as employees at Mind Springs Health. Workers allege that their supervisors asked them to make up diagnoses, to justify treating patients, and to record information that showed all patients had improved. Three top Mind Springs executives resigned after the News Collaborative published a story about poor care at the center. The facility is one of 17 regional community mental health centers throughout Colorado that make up the state's safety net system. For the second weekend in a row, following the leaked draft ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court that would reverse Roe v. Wade, protesters gathered across the country to voice support for abortion rights. In Colorado, large rallies took place in Boulder, Longmont, and Denver. Over 2,000 people rallied at the Boulder County Courthouse and marched with signs down Pearl Street on Saturday. Colorado law does guarantee the right to an abortion, but many medical workers fear this reversal could overwhelm and strain the healthcare system in Colorado. The first all-Black group summited Mount Everest this weekend. Two members of the group are from Colorado. KGNU's Kiara Damari has more.
According to Outside Online, about 6,000 climbers have climbed Mount Everest, and until this weekend, only 10 have been Black. Thomas Moore from Denver and Eddie Taylor from Boulder reached the summit with the Full Circle, a group of 7 Black climbers. The group's founder, Phil Henderson, who lives in Cortez, Colorado, said the world of outdoor sports doesn't include people of color. Henderson has worked at the National Outdoor Leadership School for more than 30 years, and according to him, for the entire time, he's been the only Black person on staff. Henderson told Outdoor Online that this summit is a major step toward further inclusivity in outdoor activities. For KGNU, I'm Kiara Damari.
Search crews recovered the body of a missing 29-year-old man from Cherry Creek Reservoir on Saturday. The victim had been missing for a week after he became separated from a tube pulled by a boat. The man, who has not yet been identified, had not been wearing a life jacket. In today's weather, there's a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms afternoon today. Winds could pick up in the afternoon along with the storms, with gusts as high as 18 miles per hour. In Boulder, partly sunny with a high near 85 and lows in the evening, around 54 today. Today in Denver will be mostly sunny with a high near 86 and a low around 54. And in Fort Collins, it will be sunny with a high near 86 and a low tonight of 52 degrees. Outside the Boulder studios, it's 52 degrees. For KGNU, I'm Ellie Stuckrath.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. North High School English teacher Tim Hernandez has been placed on administrative leave for the remainder of the school year after joining a student-led walkout protesting the school's decision to not renew his contract. On Friday morning, parents, teachers, and other community members encircled students to provide an extra layer of protection as they all marched from Viking Park to La Raza Park, a gathering place for celebration of Chicano culture on Denver's north side. KGNU's Verity Matthews was there and shared this audio collage.
My name is Daniela Valle, and I'm out here because we're pushing to dismantle the white systems that got our teacher kicked out. He's the only teacher I think I've seen in my 4 years at North that has impacted and done things without the school's help. So he took us to UNC. He got us to write a poem book. He took us to the Capitol, all without funding from the school, and the school has been taking credit for that. But they can push him out of North and not rehire him next year, and I think that's really messed up. Wolf, the principal, tried to say that he had no part in pushing him out, and it was all the personnel committee, so I think he also needs to take some credit for what is happening, because he's the principal, you know? He has accountability. We're just pushing to see another educator that's brown. He's one of the only brown educators in the English department at our school. So, yeah, and he's the reason why he got, not rehired is because he rocks the boat a little too much and he speaks out against whiteness that is toxic and, yeah.
My name is Isaac, and what brought me out here today is because he's my teacher. Now I'm here to support him. He's been like an older brother to me. Like, he was like real respectful, and he had a great bond with every student.
I'm Gia Valverde, and I'm here because it's really important for our students to go to school and see people that look like them, you know, teaching them things, you know, somebody that they can relate to. We have a teacher shortage going on right now, and we need people of color, teachers of color, men of color in the classrooms, you know, as examples for our students.
Kate Martin, Denver Classroom Teachers Association, and we are at La Raza Park waiting for the students of North High School to come down on their march in support of BIPOC educator retention at North High School, specifically the rehire of Tim Hernandez for a position in the English department. Initially, Mr. Hernandez was hired as a traditional teacher. The following year, the position that he had been hired for went away, but the school did not want to lose him, so they offered him a position as an associate teacher to maintain him in the building. I think the best outcome for today is that the students feel heard and that they feel that they have a voice that's taken seriously within the community and within the school district, and especially within North High School.
Martin, is actually going to start us off with a poem that he wrote.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? They try to silence us, but have yet to succeed. Our voices are the biggest threat to the whiniest they wish to achieve. We are fighting against the decision they made to not rehire Mr. Hernandez. He is the most outstanding teacher North has with such desire. They tell us to stay quiet and don't bring attention to the changes we wish to acquire. But I say that, and together we are going to prosper higher. As Mr. Hernandez said, through five sons we have remained, and still we shall. Thank you.
And I just want to thank Mr. Hernandez. I love you so much, Mr. Hernandez, and I hate leaving. But I hope you know that you changed my life. And I love you. And that's why I'm fighting for you guys. You guys deserve to have a teacher like him. We are all seniors and we're fighting for you guys, and we're fighting for him because you guys deserve this. You guys deserve to know real history. You guys deserve to have a voice. You guys deserve everything. If we don't get him back, just know he will always be in your hearts. And it sucks to say this because we don't know. We don't know. We are here fighting and we still don't know if we're going to win this fight. We will win in our hearts, but we don't know.
I want us to remember. I want us to remember today that schools serve communities. Schools serve students. Schools serve teachers. Schools serve people. We are not numbers. We are not cosmetic diversification. And if you're not willing to fully embrace us, we're going to make you.
We now turn to La Alma Lincoln Park, another historically Latino neighborhood in Denver, strained by the pressure of displacement through gentrification. On the evening of April 27th, Gary Arellano was in one of his favorite spots, La Alma Lincoln Park on Denver's west side. He was a park regular for decades and could frequently be found there playing basketball and hanging out with his friends. And according to a police report about the night of the 27th, that's exactly what was happening when Arellano saw two teenage girls getting into a fight. He tried to step in and calm the situation, and one of the girls' boyfriends shot and killed him. Within hours of his death, fences appeared around La Alma Lincoln Park, denying the neighborhood access to their basketball courts, green spaces, and their well-loved rec center. And this isn't the first time the city has fenced off the park. CityCast Denver's Bree Davies spoke with Elizabeth Hernandez from the Denver Post about the situation at La Alma Park.
Elizabeth Hernandez, welcome to CityCast Denver.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you've been reporting on what's been going on at La Alma Lincoln Park. Can you explain exactly what's going on right now?
Yeah, so La Alma Lincoln Park is a really important neighborhood in Denver. It is a historic Chicano neighborhood where a lot of fights for civil rights for Chicano people in Denver took place. And it's sort of the core of this predominantly Latino neighborhood. And what has been happening is the city has been closing the park for weeks and months at a time due to different sort of acts of violence, reports of shots fired, or other shootings, most recently a homicide in April.
2 days after Gary Arellano was shot to death in Denver's La Alma Park, the park is now closed, and Gary's family is heartbroken.
And the park has been closed for weeks in December and in January through March. And residents are really upset about this because they don't understand how that is effective public safety management. And so there was a community meeting last week to address this. The city finally opened the park and members of the community came together and were just really upset, talking about, you know, why this park is being closed and why sort of a core of the community is being shut down in this way.
You've mentioned this, the neighborhood response to the closures, and in particular, this most recent shooting was a strong reaction. And I think in part because Gary Arellano, the gentleman who was shot and killed, was kind of a important person in the community. What did you learn about the park from his family?
Yeah, so Gary Arellano's family showed up to that public meeting that happened. And at the meeting, Denver police were there, Denver Parks and Recreation were there, Councilwoman Jamie Torres was there. And so the family came along with other neighborhood members, and they were also very upset that the park was closed. They said that it was the last thing that Gary would have wanted. They said that Gary loved the park, their family loved the park, that it was just a really important place for all of them, and that that wasn't, you know, the memory that they wanted associated with Gary.
Aiden Arellano is Gary's nephew. He says La Alma Park was one of Gary's favorite places, that he was there almost every day with a group of friends. He practically lived there, Aiden says, and tragically, he died there.
So this community meeting that you're talking about, this happened before the fences came down last week. What else did you learn from that meeting about the community?
Yeah, what was really interesting was as I was hearing frustrations and concerns from the community, what kept coming up was gentrification. And even if that word wasn't necessarily used, that's what community members were talking about. They were saying, you know, the community used to be a place where everyone knew each other and where Latino families grew up together and had kids and their kids had kids and everyone kind of looked out for each other. And, you know, then that started to change when they got priced out of their homes and when new development started being built, not for them, and investment in the neighborhood started to go away. And, you know, they just kept talking about gentrification really over and over, the changing dynamics and demographics of their neighborhood and sort of feeling cast out in what used to be their community.
Speaking of that, something I found really fascinating about your story was that you talked to Helen Jerome, who's the head of the La Alma Lincoln Park Neighborhood Association, but she hasn't lived in the neighborhood for over a decade, I'm guessing because of this issue of being priced out. I want to just read a quote from your story where you said, Jerome wanted to be clear that the La Alma Lincoln Park Neighborhood Association does not represent, quote, the gentrifiers. It's not for them, Jerome said. It's for us. Even when the barricades are up, our kids are kept from playing, but they, the gentrifiers, go out there and walk their dogs and everything is fine for them. This is a white and brown issue. What is Helen saying there?
I think Helen was saying that she just feels this tension in the community between the Latinx community and the Chicano community who have been there for many years and these new people who are coming in who are, you know, higher income, who can afford these more expensive homes, who maybe don't look like the people in the community. And it just sort of feels, as Helen said, like they were kind of being cast aside.
So the city is the ultimate governing body of this park. And what I found super interesting was the city's response is to close parks when this kind of thing happens. It's not just La Alma. It's happened at Civic Center and some other smaller parks. But then my councilwoman, Jamie Torres, is quoted as saying, when something like this happens, we should have swarmed the park and the neighborhood with love, with resources, with programming. Instead, it was swarmed with barricades. So what do you think about, like, what's going on at the city level right now with this conversation?
Yeah, so Denver Parks and Recreation and Denver Police came to the meeting. They said that they wanted to do better. They said that they were listening to community voices at that meeting. So different sort of solutions or ideas came up, including things like more security cameras in the park or increased police presence, which community members had sort of different varying opinions on. One thing that the neighbors seemed to like was the idea of more community policing. So sort of almost like a volunteer thing where people in the neighborhood who knew each other were able to kind of look out for each other. And so I think that there are some ideas and hopefully solutions forming. And I guess we'll just have to see from here what happens.
The community policing aspect is interesting because I almost feel like from what I understand from the situation with Gary Arellano was that that's kind of what he was trying to do.
Police say Gary was trying to break up a fight between two teenage girls when one of the girls' boyfriend pulled out a gun and shot and killed Gary.
So it's interesting. I think that that's already something that the community does on its own. They just maybe want more support in doing that.
Yeah, that point was brought up during the meeting of Gary Arellano kind of doing that, that exact thing. And the wish for more resources and more investment from the city was reiterated over and over.
Did the city respond at all to that? Because I know, like, is there any plan for more spending on things like social programs? Or I know that the pool is going to be shut for the summer because they're renovating it and people are upset about that. Is there anything from the city that's saying that maybe they're going to meet those needs?
Yeah. So at the meeting, the city did say that they were looking into what could be done for things like about the pool. Like they said, what if we were able to bus children to a nearby, or not just children, but people looking to use the pool to a nearby facility, another recreation center so they could use the pool? Or, you know, what if we were able to increase the number of police officers in the area? So there was talk. There wasn't 100% like a plan laid out, but there was definitely conversations happening.
So there's this other element of the story that I want to talk about, because 50 years ago, just on the other side of Colfax from La Alma Lincoln Park, there was another Latino and Chicano community that was displaced from what we now know as Auraria campus. And I know that you've done some reporting on that history recently. So, Elizabeth, I wanted to ask, like, do you think there's any connection between those two stories?
Yeah, I definitely saw a connection, and I felt a little bit more equipped to do the story from having done that previous Auraria reporting, because they're very similar. You know, both of the stories are about these predominantly Latino neighborhoods that faced being pushed out and that faced a lot of struggles with gentrification and with sort of a retelling of their history or a lack of telling of their history. And so I think until sort of root problems are addressed here, we're likely going to continue to see similar things happening with people being pushed out. And I don't know. I think that that's something that's going to have to be addressed.
Did the city give any hint as to like what's next for the park? Because I don't know. I just feel like that might be a big concern. Is it going to get shut down again?
Yeah, the city didn't say like we'll never shut down the park again or one way or the other. So I'm not really sure what will happen next. Hopefully some of these solutions that they talked about, you know, might make things better. I know residents kept asking for sort of preventative matters that could prevent, you know, violence or prevent disruption in their neighborhood. So we'll see if any of that materializes.
Well, Elizabeth Hernandez, thank you so much for breaking this story down. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much.
After speaking with Elizabeth Hernandez, I'm still thinking about what's going to happen with La Alma Lincoln Park, especially those parallels between the current gentrification of the West Side and the historic displacement of the Auraria community. I know there's a lot more going on, and with La Alma's pool set to remain closed again this summer, we're going to be keeping an eye on this situation. But I want to hear from you, Denver, especially if you grew up on the West Side or you lived in the Reds or you found community in La Alma Lincoln Park. You can email us at denver@citycast.fm or text or leave us a voicemail at 720-500-5418. Because I know this story is far from over.
You You just heard an excerpt from CityCast Denver, the local Denver daily news podcast. Learn more about subscribing to the podcast at denver.citycast.fm or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up on this afternoon's Metro Show, host Miriam Schiff revisits a conversation with Dr. Warren Hearn, director of the Boulder Abortion Clinic. It is one of five clinics nationwide that performs late-term abortions. That's coming up at 3 p.m. here on KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. That's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. I've been your host, Shannon Young. Special thanks to Ellie Stuckrath, Benita Lee, Kiara DeMare,